Chapter 2. Jahiliyyah. He began quietly, speaking about his revelations to a small band of friends and family members who became enthusiastic and sympathetic disciples, convinced that he was the long-awaited Arab prophet. But Muhammad realized that most of the Quraysh would find it well-nigh impossible to accept this. The messengers of Allah had all been towering figures, founding fathers of society. Some had even worked miracles. How could Muhammad measure up to Moses or Jesus? The Quraysh had watched him growing up. They saw him going about his business in the market, eating and drinking like everybody else. They had jettisoned many old tribal values, but had retained its elitist, aristocratic outlook, and would expect God to choose a well-born hero from one of the more distinguished clans, rather than a minor member of Hashim. How would they react when Muhammad told them to abandon their lofty independence in a way that violated the sunnah, the way of life, of their forefathers? Even at this early stage, Muhammad had encountered opposition. Khadija, their daughters, Ali and Zayd accepted his new status unconditionally. But though his uncle, Abu Talib, would continue to love and support him, he was deeply pained that Muhammad had the temerity to depart from the absolute authority of their ancestors. He was splitting up the family. Muhammad's cousins, Ja'far, the son of Abu Talib, Abdullah and Ubaidullah ibn Jash, and their sister Zainab, all accepted the revelations. But his uncles, Abbas and Hamza, did not, though their wives did. Muhammad's son-in-law, Abu al-As, who had married his daughter Zainab, refused even to consider the new religion. Naturally, this was distressing to Muhammad. Family solidarity was a sacred value, and like any Arab, he respected the elders of his tribe and clan. He expected leadership to come from the top, but it was the younger generation who responded to his message. The revelations had already started to push Muhammad away from the norm. He could not help noticing that many of his followers came from the lower classes. A significant number were women, others freedmen, servants and slaves. Foremost among the slaves was Bilal, an Abyssinian with an extraordinarily loud voice. When the Muslims gathered to pray together in the Haram, Muhammad found himself surrounded by the young men and weak people of the city. Muhammad welcomed them warmly into his little company, but he must have wondered how a movement of such peripheral people could succeed. Indeed, some of the Quraysh elders, who as yet knew nothing of the revelations, had begun to ask him why he was consorting with such riffraff.